James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I got a couple of passages I want to read, then we're going to get right into it. It's shorter, but it's power-packed. It's right to the point. It's Holy Ghost stuff. Amen? James 1, 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, Christians, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Come on now. "But let patience have its perfect or complete or mature work on the inside of you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now go with me to John 16:33. John 16:33. Just one verse I want to look at here. I'm excited to release this word. John 16:33, and it says, Jesus said these words. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Today I want to talk about this. This is the title of my message today. It's this: navigating the storms of life. Navigating the storms of life. Many of our people here at LWC, many of those of you, you know other people, those watching and listening online right now, there's been a lot of storms that have come our way. Amen? Right? You know what that's called? It's called life. Storms will come, and storms will go in our life. But here's the thing. This is what I want to talk about today. How we handle those storms is extremely important. How you handle the storms that come into your life will determine if you will fulfill your divine destiny on this earth or not. I talked about divine destiny last week, so this is kind of a continuation. Say divine destiny. Say storms. Say I've had some storms. Oh, have we ever. But here's the deal. Listen to this. I have seen many Christians forsaking God, and even forsaking, I've seen Christians in the past that they had a storm and they even forsook coming back to a church because of the trials in their life. And that's very easy to fall into that discouragement and disappointment, isn't it? They get filled with that disappointment and discouragement, and their roots become very shallow, and because of those storms, when the winds come, because of those shallow roots, they get pulled up and blown away very easily. Some even get angry and bitter at God, all right, as if it's his fault, but it's not his fault. See, that is deception from the enemy to get you to turn your back on your heavenly Father and forsake your divine destiny. Divine destiny meaning God's calling and purpose for your life. So the enemy, the entire kingdom of darkness, they want you to believe that just because you're in a storm, you must have and maintain negative emotions. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. The enemy wants you to believe. See, this is how we've been conditioned in a worldly sense. When a storm comes, you have this negativity and negative emotions, and if you try to shift that, it doesn't feel natural. Because after all, you're going through a trial, you're going through a storm. I shouldn't feel any peace. I shouldn't feel any joy. Are you anybody following me this morning? But Jesus said, like we just read in John 16:33, he said that it's possible right in the middle of a storm, right in the middle of tribulation in your life, that you can actually have peace. And you can, he said this, you can be of good cheer. No matter what it is. So we don't have to stay in that pity party. In other words, your circumstances, oh, here we go. We're going to dive deep now. Ready? In other words, your circumstances should not dictate your emotions, but rather your emotions should rule over the negative circumstances. Now, I'm not dumb to this. I'm not trying to be cliche. There's things that go on, you know. I mean, come on. Loss of a loved one, we get it. It's tough. It's horrible. Amen. I understand. I've lost my mom when, you know, she was 54. I get it. But I made the choice not to stay in that pity party. I could have stayed in it. I mean, there's days when the memories come. What? It's been 15 years. It can feel very fresh. But at that point, I have a choice to make. What am I going to do? Amen? So here's what the Lord is saying to us today in the storms of life, that you do not have to be a slave to negativity and to negative emotions within the storm that you're facing. Your disciplined thought life and emotions should carry you through your trials, not the negative emotions that keep you in them. Amen? Now, so Jesus is revealing to us that if we will maintain positive emotions, or let's do this, attempt to. Because how many of you know it takes the helper of the Holy Spirit to boost you out of a pit sometimes? But he needs your help. When the Holy Spirit's hooking that chain up to you, you got to spin the wheels. You got to give it some gas. Hello, somebody. He's the helper. He's the tow truck. Come on, somebody. We got to cooperate with him in the midst of this thing called life. Life is tough. Amen? But Jesus is revealing, if we will maintain or attempt to maintain those positive emotions through the storms of life, that it will save us from many other negative fruits that could happen if we don't handle these storms or navigate through them properly. Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, the wrong spiritual doors will be opened in your life. He said this. He said, prolonged negative emotions can affect your decision-making in your own life, and they can even affect your physical and mental health. Oh, come on. There are many branches of your life that are impacted by the root of negative emotions. So much so that we would be blown away, right? We think that it's just, oh, well, this is just that. No. There's something connected. There's a root to everything. Amen? So go to Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. I'm talking about navigating through the storms of life. We got to learn how to navigate these things. We don't want to become shipwrecked in the storm. Amen? Oh, that boat might be rocking and rolling, baby. There might be some a little bit of damage to the boat, but at least we're not shipwrecked. Come on, somebody. Amen? Listen to this. Faith and trust in God and his word are a must during the storms of life. Look at this. Isaiah 12, 2 through 3. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord is my strength and song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I love that. Your faith and trust in God during the storms of life will produce peace and joy. And that joy will give you a whole different perspective of that situation than the negative emotions you're giving place to. Now, listen to me. Faith and trust produces joy and peace, which turns into, it says here that you need joy to even draw water out of the wells of salvation. So what do you think the enemy is going to come against in your life? Now, here's the thing. Joy is not based on circumstances. Happiness is, right? Oh, wow, I got a lot of money. I'm happy. Yeah, but it doesn't bring you joy. Amen? Faith and trust produces joy, which in turn plugs you in to the endless depths and supply from the wells of salvation. And that's what the enemy's trying to cap your wells. He's trying to prevent you from putting your pump in the wells of salvation and drawing out of that. All right? If there's no faith, there's no joy. Say that with me. No faith, no joy. All right? Joy will cause health to spring forth in your soul and physical body. Think about this. The Word of God even goes on to say that laughter is like a medicine. Sometimes you just got to laugh at the devil. Are you right? the circumstances that we go through are so ridiculous sometimes, you need what I call the laugh of faith. Because the enemy wants to keep you down in those negative emotions. But you need to laugh at him and say, no, I'm holding on to the anchor of God's word. Amen? Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Say, I'm going to come out of this storm victoriously in the name of Jesus. All right. Listen to this. Here we go. Here's a point you really got to take hold of. We must emotionally let go of the negative parts of our past that we get stuck in. We must emotionally let go of the negative parts of our past that we are stuck in. Look at this, Philippians 3, 12 through 15. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say, press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, oh, that sounds so cliche, doesn't it? Hold on, we're going to touch on this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind or mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Now, here's the deal. Oh, come on. I know. That's a lot of people think that just sounds so cliche. You know what? In to someone who just hears that in the midst of a trial that is really rocking you, right? It sounds cliche. Is anybody with me today? Doesn't it? Like, oh, it's easy for you to say you're not going through this trial, right? But look at this. There must be a pressing on through the storm, and for, like I said, for us not to get stuck in the middle of it. Now, here's what he said. There may be a shadow of death that you're walking through, Psalm 23, but it says to keep walking through it. Don't stop in the midst of it. Amen? Here's the deal. Listen to this. You must forget what is behind in the past that is slowing down your forward progress for the present and for your future. Now, here's the cliche part. Here's the deal. Listen to this. Now, we all know if you go through a hard situation, okay, you're going through a hard situation, we all know that in our past, we all been through some junk. We all have junk in the trunk, right? Okay? Now, we know that it's really impossible to forget about what happened to us in the past. You're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget it. So then what does this scripture mean then? Because you're always going to remember it. I mean, when something impacts you so hard, you're going to remember it, right? Listen to this. All right, this is what you got to get hold of. Are you awake? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me about this in Philippians 3, about forgetting things in the past. He said, I want you to notice that I use the words reaching forward to those things which are ahead in connection to your future. I am telling my people, this is what that means to forget. You're going to remember the situation. What I am telling my people to not pick up the past negative situations in their soul that will be a weight holding you back from your purpose and destiny on this earth. He's talking about don't pick it up with your soul in your thought life. He said this, you cannot reach for the future if your spiritual hand is holding on to something in the past. So what he's talking about is not that you're going to forget what happened, but don't let it have any weight in your thought life or in your soul. And then the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He went even deeper. He said, he clarified to me that we operate our spiritual arms and hands, ready for this, with our imagination, our spirit man. Oh, some of you know. Or your thought life. So people are holding on to their past. This is what literally this verse is telling us to do, what to do and what not to do. People are holding on to past hurtful situations in their imagination. They keep playing it over and over in their imagination, and it's a weight that's holding them back from their present and moving forward in their future. Are you following me? Again, they're replaying it over and over, and this is what the Holy Spirit said. They're filling their thought life, their imagination, with those past hurts, so there's no room for a vision for the future in their heart or imagination. Come on, somebody. Here's what he said. He said their imagination is too congested with images of the past, and there's no room for their vision for the future. How do you know when you're stuck in a storm? When you stop having hope for the future. Come on, somebody. We lay hold of what is forward in our future in our imagination. You must be open. Your heart must be open, and you must see something. You got that's what creates a hope, when you can see that a future and a hope. You got to see it on the inside. The moment you, if you're just focusing on the past, there's no room for you to see your future. I don't know how else to say. Are you picking up what I'm laying down right now? And this leads me to my next point. To navigate through the storms of life, we must have a vision for our future. This is what the Holy Ghost said. We must have a vision for our future that is greater than our struggle or current negative situations. Go to Proverbs 29, 18. Proverbs 29, 18. See, when people don't have a vision for their future, they get stuck in the midst of the storm. Isn't that right? Proverbs 29, 18. And it says these words. It says, where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. So here's the deal. You may not be able to control the storm or circumstances that you're currently facing or faced in the past, but you can control your spiritual vision in the midst of it. Oh, come on. If you are in a storm right now, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to give you clear vision of where you're heading. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and for clear sight. Invite him into your situation. Invite him into that discouragement. Invite him into that discouragement. Invite him into that grief. Amen? Because he is the helper. So ask for help. Amen? Here's what, the Holy Spirit gave me this. Listen to this. If I get on an airplane at Detroit Metro Airport and I'm going to Hawaii, you know what? There may be some storms. There may be some nasty turbulence on the way between the departure point and to the destination. But guess what? I'm focused on the destination of Hawaii. Right? I'm focused on that destination of Hawaii, and guess what? That gives me peace, and that gives me joy. That gives me a vision, a clear vision of where I'm going. So now the storms and the turbulence, yeah, they can be a little uncomfortable. But guess what? That aircraft is still moving forward toward Hawaii, and I'm loving it. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Knowing your destination gives you a sense of purpose. There is a goal, a destination to look forward to. Don't get focused on the storms. Don't get focused on the turbulence. Storms are going to come. Turbulence is going to happen. Don't get caught up in it. Keep moving forward. Many Christians hit a storm in their life, and they focus on that intensity of the storm, the intensity of the turbulence. They get hyper-focused on it. That's the problem. It's the wrong focus. And they want, listen, they want to cancel the trip to their destination, to their divine destiny. They want to divert their life into some old abandoned airport. They want to set up a tent there and live there in that all that depressing empty area. Are you following me? Where there is no revelation or spiritual vision of the destination or goal, Christians get focused on the storm. They cast off all restraint. You want to know what that means? They cast off all discipline, all spiritual discipline. They stop moving toward the destination or the destiny and purpose for their life. So we must be focused on our goal, on our destination. If you're caught in a storm, I'm a flight instructor, so you tell students, and this is what I learned. If you find yourself in a storm, first of all, how did you end up there? That's some pretty poor planning anyways, right? But in storms of life, they just happen, right? But if you're caught in a storm, the quickest way out of a storm is straight through it. Say straight through. Not to circle and weave around in the storm. Just keep one heading and get out of there. Keep moving forward. Amen? And what came to me was this, that Jesus even endured the cross because he was focused on the end goal. He was focused on his mission. And we need to do the same thing. Thank God that Jesus did not have a spiritual sight problem. He did not have a spiritual vision problem. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. Oh, this, you got to listen to this next part I'm going to talk about. It's so important. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction or turbulence is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, things in the natural realm, all this is going to fade away. Our physical bodies, everything. Things, but the spiritual things that you have a vision of in the inside, those are eternal. Amen? Now here's what I want to show you here. Maybe you've never seen it this way before. It says about losing heart, not to lose heart. Don't ever lose heart in the midst of a storm. Say lose heart. Now, what does losing heart mean? This is so good. Listen to this. To lose heart means to be filled with disappointment and discouragement to the point that it negatively affects our actions. It means this. Like in a battle, it means to lose ground in a battle or a war. To lose ground in your thought life, like losing ground in a battle, it means that you disconnected from the influence of the Holy Spirit. You disconnected from the influence of the kingdom of God. Think about that. So we got to remember, we have to guard our heart because the word says, out of our heart flows the issues of life. Amen? The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. Listen to this. He added this to it. He said, to lose heart also means this, to surrender your imagination to the kingdom of darkness. Listen to me. To lose heart means to surrender your imagination or spiritual vision to the kingdom of darkness. Allowing them to give you a negative vision or pictures on the inside instead of allowing me, or the Lord, to give you true spiritual vision. Or he even said this, or spiritual reality. Oh, come on. Listen to me. To lose heart means to surrender your imagination to the kingdom of darkness. Do you know your imagination belongs to you, not the kingdom of darkness? You take charge of your own imagination. You take charge of what you're seeing on the inside. Amen? Amen. Kick them out of your imagination. So if the enemy has been giving you pictures on the inside and you surrendered that, guess what? You lost heart. You need to take that ground back and use it for holy purposes on your journey to your destination of your divine destiny. Don't ever surrender your imagination or spiritual vision to your enemy. Your spiritual vision is extremely valuable and priceless. You could say it this way. Your spiritual vision is your spiritual compass. Amen? Now, I found this interesting. I found this online. It was interesting. In one of Germany's famous art galleries, there's a painting called Cloud Lane that hangs at the end of a very dark hallway. It appears at first to be a huge, ugly mass of confused colors, totally unattractive from a long distance. However, upon closer examination, you get closer and you see an innumerable company of angels in that cloud. A man by the name of Theodore Kyler wrote this. He said, "How often the soul that is frightened by the trials, by a trial, sees nothing but a conglomeration of broken expectations. But if he analyzes the situation from a position of faith, he will soon discover that the cloud is God's wonderful chariot of providence, full of angels of mercy." It's all about spiritual vision. It's all about spiritual perspective in the midst of your storm. What are you seeing in the midst of that storm? Now, my next point. We must focus on the growth that God desires to bring into our life through storms. Now, someone hears that and they just shut me off. They just shut me off. But let me throw this in the mix. God did not cause your storm. Hello, somebody. But how many of you know he will use anything to develop your character and faith in the midst of a storm? Are you following me? God did not cause that storm, but he will use anything. Come on, somebody. He will use anything. Storms are an opportunity to exercise our faith in God and in his word and to grow and mature spiritually. I don't know if you know this or not, but our spiritual growth and maturity are developed through the challenges and hard times, not through the easy times. That's just the way it is. It's not shouting material, but that's just the way it is. Look at Romans chapter 5. God is more interested in how you're handling the hard times than he is the easy times. Amen? Why? Because the hard times, that's when the temptation comes to throw God out the window in your life. Right. Or are you going to draw close to him and keep him right at the center of your life, even in the midst of the storm? Romans 5, 1 through 5. I'm almost done. Stick with me. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." What? it does say that. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." All right, here we go. You got to catch this right now. We glory or rejoice in tribulations, in hard times, in the storms of life. Why? We can rejoice because God is on our side, and there's precious promises to pull us through the storm. We're not thanking him for the storms, because number one, they're not even from him. It's life. It happens. We have a real enemy on this earth, right? Here's the deal. It says this, tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So it's like a flow chart. Say flow chart. You could do it this way. There's tribulation, perseverance, character, hope, in that order. Isn't that interesting? Now here, listen to this. The word character is defined as this: the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. So perseverance produces character, it says. Perseverance is a continued effort to achieve something. In other words, you're not giving up. You're persevering through that storm. So perseverance, or a continued effort to achieve something, to press forward, produces, or is supposed to produce, mental and moral qualities when your spiritual vision and perspective are rooted in the Word of God. That's the only time character will be developed, is if you're rooting yourself in the Word of God. What are you talking about, Pastor James? What I'm talking about is this: you can either get bitter, or you can get better in the midst of a trial. So if you're rooting yourself in the Word of God, that's when that perseverance and pressing through is going to produce good character. Say good character. And then it says, in the proper mental and moral qualities or character on the inside of you, it produces hope or a confident expectation through the tribulations, because you are rooting yourself in the Word of God. So the root, the center of your life then, if you want to break it all the way down to the root, it's saying this: that God and His Word must be the very center of your life if you're going to maintain a peace and a joy and come out of this storm victoriously. Amen? Amen. Your mental and moral qualities must align with the Word of God. You got to put God and His Word right there in the midst of it. Now, my last point is this: we must feed on the faithfulness of God in the storms of life. Say, I got to feed on God's faithfulness. Here's what the words that came to me as I was writing this. He said, we need a strict spiritual diet of the Word of God and positivity in our life. And also remembering the times, the challenges in the past that you thought you would never make it through. But guess what? You're alive and well right now, aren't you? You're making it through. Don't look now. That storm you're going in, that's so tough. You're saying, God, am I going to make it through? You have breath in your lungs right now. You're going to make it through. Amen? Surround yourself with positive Christians that will help and encourage you to persevere, to keep pressing forward, that will help keep you on course. I say positive Christians because I don't know if you found this out yet, but there's some negative Christians out there. Amen? They're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I don't want to waste my time around that negativity. Amen? All right, a lot of them are led by their negative emotions, and my advice is this: stay away. Right? Because your inner circle matters. How you come out of this storm, yeah, it's ultimately up to you. But how many of you know your inner circle is going to be either a good influence or a bad influence on you? Amen? Look at Psalm 37. I want to end with just a couple short verses to end this message here, to make it through. You're going to make it through this storm. Amen? God has never left you in the past. He's not going to leave you now. The thing is, you just got to stay close to Him in the midst of it. Amen? He is your guide. Let the shepherd lead you through it. Psalm 37, 3 through 5. And it says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So if you want to know some very common sense steps, some biblical steps. What do I do in this storm? What do I do? It just listed them all out right here. Here are steps to a successful life and to have victory through the storms of life. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, do good. Do the right thing. Amen? Number three, dwell in the land. The Holy Ghost said, I said, Holy Ghost, give me some more on this. He said, stay planted where I have placed you in the present. Don't you move until I tell you to move. Stay planted where you're at, all right? And then it said, feed on his faithfulness. Again, look back at the times you thought you would never make it through. Guess what? You're still here. Next, commit to him. Stay close to him. Make him the center of your life. And then it says, delight yourself in the Lord. I love that. I love that. You have got to come to the place. This is what the Lord said. You've got to come to the place in your Christian walk that God is enough. He is more than enough. You find delight simply in the fact that you are in right standing with your Heavenly Father through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You have a relationship with your Creator, and that is your everything. That one fact is precious to you more than anything else on the face of this earth. That's the place you got to come to. That is what Job understood. Come on, somebody. That is what Job understood, and that kept him focused. See, the enemy kept trying to take things from him, but what the enemy didn't know is that God was everything to Job, and the enemy could not take that relationship away. Amen. That kept him focused on God and to persevere through each storm he faced. That must be the foundation of your entire life. That must be the entire foundation of your existence on this earth. If you are not at that point, or if you never even get to that point in your life where God is enough, you will live a very defeated and discouraged and joyless life on this earth. You got to get to that point. Do whatever it takes to get to that point. Amen? Go to Psalm 125, my last passage here. Psalm 125. Boy, I really did shorten this. 11:36, boy, this just don't feel right now. Yeah, just doesn't feel right. All right. Psalm 125, verses 1 through 2, my last passage here. See, people are going to come and go in your life. Things are going to come and go in your life. But God is your only constant. He's got to be your everything. Everything. Here it is, Psalm 125, 1 through 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Be encouraged by knowing that the Holy Spirit is right there, ready to help you, ready to assist you through whatever comes your way in this life. Your trust in the Lord will prevent you. It will prevent you from veering off course from your divine destiny. I don't care what the enemy, I don't care what your flesh, I don't care what people are telling you. Always trust in the Lord and never lean on your own understanding. Always seek Him first for wisdom. Church, whatever storms you may be going through today or you will face in the future, understand, you got to understand this, that we all right now, we are in the en route phase of our life going toward our destination of our divine destiny. Say, I'm en route right now. I'm not going to land prematurely. I'm going to stay airborne. Listen to me. If you feel spiritually stuck and delayed at an airport that you shouldn't have landed at emotionally, the Holy Ghost is saying this to you right now. Pack up your stuff. Get back on the runway and take off and continue moving toward your divine destination, your divine destiny with trust, with peace, and joy in your heart. And as you keep moving forward, you will make it through each storm with the help of the Holy Spirit victoriously. Amen? Let's stand in this place. Hallelujah. We're not going to get stuck in the storms. We're going to keep moving forward. Sorrow endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? You need to restore that joy. You need to stay en route and route. Prayer team, come forward. Now, maybe there's someone here. You have never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And you know what? Until you make him Lord of your life, you haven't even took off yet. You need to make Jesus Lord of your life. And on top of that, you don't know when you're going to take your last breath on this earth. Death doesn't care about age. Are you following me? Death doesn't care about age. Death doesn't care about how much money you have in the bank. It just doesn't. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you need to do it today before leaving this place. And I want you to come forward and pray with one of our prayer partners, prayer team members. Now, maybe you're in this place. You're like, Pastor James, you were speaking and preaching right to me. And I have diverted. I landed at a place spiritually that I'm in depression. I have a discouragement and disappointment. And I feel like I can't take off again. If that's you and you're ready, you're ready to let go of this stuff and get back en route toward your destination of your divine destiny, I want you to come forward and pray with one of the prayer team members. Don't leave here without coming forward and praying with someone. I'm telling you, there's power in agreement. There's power in prayer. Amen? If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and you want to learn about the gifts of the Spirit and you want power, Jesus said you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You need the Holy Spirit baptism. Amen? Amen. You want to learn more about the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. If you need prayer for family members or anything else, they'll stay here and pray with you. Not too long because we have a picnic. Amen? So don't hold them hostage at this altar. To let you guys know as well, those of you who can't use the stairs, there's an elevator in the war room area if you need to use that as well. So I'm going to pray for the food right now. Let's have a great time at the picnic. Love you all. We appreciate you all. We appreciate everyone who brought food, everyone who helped set up, and just everyone who makes this place advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us amazing fellowship today at this picnic and that you would bless this food to our bodies, Lord God. Lord, we honor you. Fill this building and property with your manifest presence and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, we'll see you outside.